Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
LandryFootball.com. Chris, I want to begin because you're there, and Chris is nationwide, but he's there in Baton Rouge, his home base. Joe Brady, formerly known as the football player, wasn't very good, Joey Brady at William & Mary. What has he meant to LSU as the passing game coordinator? Kind of a softball question there, Chris. And what is his future being 30 years of age?
Well, he's met a lot. You know, he's had experience, obviously, in college and, you know, was in the background at Penn State. Then he gets a job with the Saints, and he didn't have a real role there. It was more of a learning and a grunt work type of role, but he's a very bright guy, and he learned a lot. And I've done a lot of stuff with Sean Payton at the Saints and kind of know all their guys, and believe it or not, they don't have as large a staff as they do in college now, so it's easy to get to know all of the different roles. And he's a very bright guy. He absorbs things very well. And, you know, he was a guy. I know that Ed has been looking for a while to – well, initially he wanted to hire somebody that could, you know, have an impact in making the offense become a little bit more, modern. And obviously it led to, you know, Matt Canada, which I think some of that was forced on him, and then that didn't work. And so he went to Ensminger, but there was a need of feeling that they needed to add somebody that could bring some things to the table. And, you know, I always tried to get Les to kind of tap into the Saints and some of the things that Sean was doing. And, you know, Les wasn't quite – I actually tried to get Les to hire – years ago, Paul Chryst, who was the offense coordinator at Wisconsin, because I thought he'd been a good fit. And, of course, Paul ended up moving on, becoming the head coach, then came back to Wisconsin as a head coach. But Ed's always been willing to kind of bring in people, different ideas, and they've been willing to pay well. He is a really bright guy. He's done a lot. I think that Steve Ensminger has a bigger role in trying to incorporating it in – probably more people know, but obviously the biggest thing, though, Bill, is Joe Burrow, in that he can handle it. You can bring in a scheme all you want. They bring in a scheme at Michigan, and it's not working. They're bringing a scheme to a lot of places. That quarterback that can run it, we'll see next year without Joe Burrow what they're able to do. They're not going to be able to just run the same thing with somebody else and be as effective. Joe will likely be the offensive coordinator next year at LSU. If he wants to, he'll get the title. And I think Steve will be comfortable with some sort of a assistant head coach, tight end, whatever role. And we'll see where it goes. But he'll have offers, and certainly coordinator offers. Pro football is certainly in his future if he wants it. And certainly at the college level, he'll have an opportunity. But I think – that the likelihood is that he'll be the coordinator at LSU next year.
When you're evaluating Joe Burrow, let's go ahead and talk about what you see out of him on the next level, because he certainly is that kind of player, correct?
Yes. I think he's a lot better than people realize. I think he's a definite make-it guy. He's got great intuitive skills. He is very bright, and I've got to know him very well. He does, you know, he's right now in graduate school. He's spending all of his time looking at film. I mean, he's like a pro player now. That's going to serve him well. He has a great vision for the game, and this is why I say, yeah, the system's great, but the trigger man makes that system work. His ability to be able to see it, read it, and adjust to it is just outstanding. I think this year he's had the best year of any quarterback in college football, and I would be all over him as a pro prospect. And again, how successful will depend on where he goes. But I'm going to tell you, you put him with a really good quarterback coach, and this guy's a gym rat. I think he's going to be outstanding at the next level. I think he's really good. He's one of those guys that can learn and grow and become a real student of the game. And I don't want to put him in this category, but like a guy like Tom Brady came out of nowhere and wasn't real successful in college, actually played decently with a limited time that Lloyd played him, became great. I think Burrow can have, you know, not the same level of success. I'm not saying no one's going to be Tom Brady, but I think this guy can be really good. The capacity and willingness to learn are through the charts good, and he's got physical skills, and he's got mobility to extend plays. He's really got the entire package. I think I had this conversation, this asked me the other day by a general manager, one of the teams I work for. He says, "We think Burrow is better than Tua. Tell me why I'm wrong," is what he asked me. And I said, "I can't. I think there's a lot of – I have no doubt in my mind that Joe Burrow is going to be outstanding at the next level. So will Tua, I think. But Burrow's really good, very underrated, and is not one of those, well, one-hit wonders, and it's a system making him. I think he makes the system."
So could he be the first quarterback taken?
Well, I don't know that he will be. I'm just – and I don't really care. I mean, Jamarcus Russell was the first quarterback taken, and I didn't – you know, I tried to convince, you know, Bruce Kebrick and Al Davis that was a bad mistake. So where he's taken doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying I think Joe Burrow is going to be really good. So, I don't get into who's this and tanking for Tua or tanking for this guy. I can tell you the teams haven't decided what they're going to do. And all this talk about, well, who's moving up and down the boards, there are no draft boards set. So I'm just saying that when it's all said and done, I think that and when people get down to meet these guys, I think Joe Burrow is going to go a lot higher than people might think.
Jason on Twitter, ask Chris what improvement, if any, he sees in Alabama's defense right now.
I'm sorry, what's that again? Do I see improvement in Alabama's defense?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah. I think that they are doing a good job with the young players. I think they're still struggling a little bit leveraging the run tackling-wise. I think they've got some problems, in coverage at times, but I think they are getting better. Yeah, I think the pass rush has definitely improved.
Yeah, and some people criticize, Chris, the Pete Golding elevation to be the defensive coordinator. It was a holdover. A lot of guys either left on their own or left regardless from that staff a year ago. And some didn't think that was a good idea for Nick, who always does well, elevating Golding. Has that been a problem at all to you?
I think it's something he's going to have to evaluate at the end of the year. I think that it is a little unfair to throw it all on Pete because you're dealing with a lot of youth throwing in, and I think that contributes to a lot of those guys that are in difficult positions. And, you know, there's no excuses in this league, of course, but I don't think it's all play calling. I think it's more of you're trying to develop a lot of young guys. But listen, he wasn't his first choice. I mean, I talk with Nick extensively about it. There were some other guys he had in mind, and he was the best fit of the options that were available, and somebody that was there, and a couple of other guys that were outside weren't necessarily better than Pete in his eyes. And so, but he'll have to, as he does every year, he'll have to reevaluate it, whether that's the direction he wants to go. Pete's a good young coach, but it's in a tough situation, and it hadn't gone as well as any of them had hoped. But I think a lot of it has to do with personnel.
What is your thinking on this Michigan at Penn State game Saturday night?
Listen, this Penn State defense is for real. They are really, really good. I think they're the better team here. I think they win at home. But, you know, heck, who knows? I would have told you that Georgia was going to beat South Carolina as well. I think the key is what offense could make more plays here, because I think that Penn State's defense and Michigan's defense are both playing well. So what offense is able to step up and make some plays here? And we'll see. That's going to determine it. I think it'll be pretty close. I think it'll be a good game. But I like this Penn State team. They're going to need to get more offense, though, than what I saw last week. And I know that was a tough environment. They're going to need more offense if they're going to beat the likes of Ohio State. But this week, Michigan might be enough.
Chris, I got a Georgia question and a couple of others for you. Can you hang through the break?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
We've got Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. We'll let you know how you can get all his information, all the college daily reports, the pro information, draft and recruiting also, plus the podcast. We'll let you know about all that when we come back. First break here, hour number two, Thursday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
I'm Eric Opron, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlet to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the biscuit bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant, or our upscale honky-tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there. And he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's soulstreetcoffee.com.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Crack Show.
When you talk about sports radio, it's pure. Okay, it's not sound bites. Mr. Franks, man, you do it as good as anybody. So I really appreciate, you know, in my time in Nashville, you watched me grow up. You've helped me grow. Okay, man, you've provided plenty of conversation, you know, man, for us to talk about all things Vanderbilt. I thank you for that. I truly do.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Omni Nashville Hotel. Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. Chris, what happened to Georgia?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that really are taking place. The biggest thing that I'm seeing is their receivers are not winning. the receivers can't get off coverage. And this is a timing-based passing attack that the ball has to come out on a 5 or 7 step drop. If you can't win off the line of scrimmage, or if you can't win off your stem, you know, the ball's there, and if the receiver's not, or if the receiver's there and the ball's not, that timing is just not working. And the biggest issue I see is the receivers. You know, the offensive line's got some criticism, and while they've not played as well as maybe people expect, they had plenty of time to make plays in the passing game. Breaking down the tape, they were there. They just couldn't make them. Quarterback's not playing well. The receivers are not winning. That's the biggest issue. And if that doesn't improve, that's not going to be their only loss this year. They've got some work to do there. And it's not about changing your offense. It's just about being a little bit more efficient and effective with finding ways to alleviate numbers in the box so that you can run the football. Because that's what they're going to be. That's what they're going to do. But you have to have enough balance. And in order to have – and balance to me is not run and pass equivalency in terms of numbers, but working the entire field. And right now they're not able to do that. And they did a great job, South Carolina did, in coverage and put numbers in the box. And Georgia couldn't beat them. That's going to be the challenge. And right now they're going to have to find a way to score more points, because even if they win out in the regular season, they're going to need to score more points to beat the likes of an LSU or an Alabama.
What about that South Carolina-Florida game, which to me is perhaps more interesting than, let's say, a month ago I would have thought it would be?
Yeah, although I do expect that certainly there's a bit of a come down, I think, for South Carolina. It is at home.
Yeah.
You know, Florida's not, you know, particularly their help on defense will certainly have an effect. Yeah, I could see where it's definitely interesting, and certainly, but I would expect Florida to take care of business. I thought Florida played very well and had a really good game plan last week. They just weren't as good or as talented as LSU, but I think they should be able to take care of South Carolina. But I don't know if South Carolina could replicate that performance from last week. If they can, well, that would be the story now, wouldn't it? Beating Georgia and Florida back-to-back weeks, that would be big.
We've got a few weeks here, but I wanted to preview couple games. Well, Alabama-LSU, but we're a little over a week out on Ohio State-Wisconsin. But give us just a couple of words on Alabama-LSU from a couple of weeks out.
Both offenses are going to be tough for both defenses to stop. So the real challenge here for both, and you've got 3 weeks for both because both had the bye week prior to that game. LSU has Mississippi State, Auburn, Alabama obviously has Tennessee and Arkansas. What defense can get better and healthier to be able to find ways to get off the field? Because that's what's going to be the key. Shutting people out, stopping people are not really the issue as much as can you play situational defense? Can you get off the field on third downs? Can you force field goals in the red zone? So you're dealing with threes instead of sevens. The team that can do that the best is going to win the game, because I think both offenses are going to click and both offenses are going to be able to have some success. So that, to me, is the key, and I think it's going to be bigger and better than any of the LSU-Alabama games of the past, certainly different than the 2011-9-6 game, but it'll be unbelievable. And I do think that it's very possible you could have Heisman Trophy, you know, at stake, certainly the West. I think it's going to be huge. So that's kind of how I see it in how it's shaping up. But let's see 2 or 3 weeks and certainly health, how things that could affect the game in that regard.
Wisconsin, Ohio State, can Wisconsin stay with them?
You know, I tell you, as I study this Wisconsin team, I'm more and more impressed. They do a good job with their passing game. This is a perfect example of, you know, like what Michigan State used to be, or teams that, yes, they're a line of scrimmage team, but they do run good scheme in the pass game, and the quarterback's been, Kona's been very accurate. The concern I would have, and defensively, man, are they really good. And they are deep, and they are playing guys from a depth standpoint, Bill, and there's no drop-off. They are just outstanding on defense. Ohio State's a different level of athlete, and dealing with their speed is going to be the biggest challenge. So, look, and everybody says, how good is Wisconsin? Look, they're as good as they can be doing what they do. And they're going to be tested in a different way by Ohio State, and we'll see how they're able to do it. Can they run the football well enough on Ohio State? Can they maybe reduce the possessions by a couple and win their way? That's what they're going to have to do to win it. And Ohio State's going to play more of the speed game and get them out in space and try to gash them that way. So I certainly favor Ohio State, but this Wisconsin team has been very impressive.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get all of your information.
LandryFootball.com. Very easy to find it. Go check it out. All the film room breakdowns, college game, the pro game, all the inside information, as well as, again, the breakdowns prior to the game, what we, the games within the game, what we expect to happen. Not just picking games. That's, to me, is the fun part is explaining how, why, and the matchups. Then after the games, we really spent a lot of time in the early part of the week breaking down why it happened. So going into even greater detail about what we just talked about with Georgia and everybody else. So we do that every team, every conference. So check it out at LandryFootball.com. All the podcasts are free as well. So if you like football, you'll love LandryFootball.com. Check us out today. We got a discount for the football season, so take advantage of that.
Good stuff, Chris. We'll see you next week, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you.
LandryFootball.com. Chris Landry. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. The OOP this week isn't one of the stronger ones. We've got some good ones coming up, but it's not one of the mainstay ones. I've got Michigan at Penn State. That's the easy one. That one, I didn't even have to think about that. That's in the one slot. Gators and South Kakalaki, I've got number two. Then it kind of deteriorates. I got the Ducks and UW. Baylor versus Oklahoma State and Arizona State versus the Utes. That's, I'll be checking it out. I'm always watching. I'm always monitoring. I'm always absorbing information. That's easy. But week eight, boy, I tell you what, week eight, that's going a little too fast. Let me look at the SEC conference here. Florida, South Carolina, check. Auburn, Arkansas, that game in Vietnam. LSU, Mississippi State. I was going to ask, can LSU be just not alert for that game or not? Missouri, Vanderbilt, yeah. Missouri's coming to the 615. That's right. We got them coming on into town, man. Hey, Missouri fans, little tip from a native 615-er. You don't have to rush. There's not much traffic around that stadium. If you don't have a ticket, don't even worry. Now, I want you to go to Primo Seats for your tickets, but if you don't have one yet, you don't have to rush it. It's not like somebody's going to get your seat. Parking, no worries. Park anywhere you want. Do you need to leave the game early to beat the traffic? No. You can stay all the way through. Don't worry about the traffic. Nope, no problems at all. When you get to the stadium, will it appear that you're at the wrong address if you've never been there before because it looks like a high school facility? Yes. But that will be Vanderbilt Stadium. Yes. That's right. Don't think you've been fooled. That is actually where Vanderbilt plays their football games. I know. You'll say there's no way a college, a legitimate SEC college, would actually perform in this facility. But, yes, that's what you'll be walking into. And, again, sit anywhere you want. Don't look at where your ticket says you're supposed to sit. Just go anywhere you want. It won't matter. Kentucky, Georgia. Aggies and Ole Miss. There's your one, Tennessee, Alabama. Tennessee, Alabama week. Third Saturday in October for that game. Let me get a call before the break. Georgia Dog, what's happening, sir?
Oh, just want to say good morning, Bill, and prayers, and I'll go out to Bayou Dave and his family, and, you know, I hate to hear that. And I was listening to a lot of the callers this morning, and, you know, it dawned on me that your show and ours to a lot lesser degree, it brings a lot of people together that never would have known each other and builds a lot of relationships with people. And I look at guys like Black, Cosby Cattleman, Jeff too, Jeff in the Borough, Karen, all these people. And I love the fact that they are so passionate about what they do. Now, Black, for instance, is extremely opinionated, extremely honest. He did tout Georgia all during the summer. And when we lost to South Carolina, of course, then he's going to tell the truth, and the truth is what it is. And I just love that. I love the guys calling up, and it's kind of like I always wanted this show down here to be five guys sitting around a Hooters table talking about football and busting your buddy's butts about everything, and that's exactly what it is. So I'm honored that these guys call in and take shots at Georgia. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but I'm going to defend the gates of the enemy, so, you know, I have to do that. So just, you know, and once again, condolences out to Bayou Dave and his family, and Black, I'll be waiting on you, buddy. With that, we're just going to be doggone.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, we've got a lot of time here the rest of the way. 615-844-5600 on Twitter at Bill is King. Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. That's that number. Call at any time for all of your pest control needs, 615-293-0722. And I can promise you, you're going to like the customer satisfaction quotient. You're going to like the job that's done. You're going to like the pricing, too. Whatever your pest control need is, Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. We'll get the break as we continue. Goggin Cold Hall Studios out here in Wilco. That's right, Omni Nashville Hotel.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kalutis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kalutis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Five-State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Sunny for this morning, an afternoon high of 63, overnight low of 41, and sunny tomorrow with a high of 71. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The old old BCS computer runs on diesel fuel and dreams. We know this because it lives in Bill King's garage.
Charlie says the lines are absolutely clear. If you'd like to get in, 615-844-5600. M. Roos on Twitter. Bill, I know you enjoy high school ball. What's your feedback on this ongoing intrusion of Friday Night Lights? And it's a story he links. Says a high school's $75,000 budget, Perrysburg in Ohio, is derived almost entirely from five home football games. If 200 fewer people attend Friday because of the coaching, or excuse me, because of the conflicting Ohio State game, the lost money is equivalent to one team's uniforms. Well, I'll say this. I've probably softened a little bit, but I still prefer Friday nights to be about high school ball. Now, ESPN's programming and games being played, there's games tonight, Thursday night. That's been going on for a while. That's not new, as we know. So I'm kind of, again, I've softened on that just because it's become normal, but I still prefer Friday nights to be about the high school game and not any overlapping. Now, how many high schools get hurt by a college game being on a Friday night? Probably not many, but, yeah, I get what you're saying. And again, I'm old school when it comes to that. And I would prefer that we did not overlap the two. That would be my preference. There's nothing like a Friday night high school game. And I don't care what city or town you're in. Doesn't have to be here. It could be your town. And the innocence of it. Everybody's there not because it's going to lead to a future. And there's nothing wrong with being good enough to make a future of it. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying high school ball is totally innocent. It's just about the love of the game. And it's about the crowd. And it's about the band. And it's about the concession stand. And it's about the volunteers. It's about all that stuff. I just enjoy it. I do. And do I get to many of them? No, I don't. I get to far fewer of any of these games than I'd like to. But, yeah, there's nothing like – I know when my kids, my older kids, and I've got – my two oldest are in college. One's a junior, one's a senior. And when they were 8, 9, on a Friday afternoon, I'd say, hey, guys, and we'd just jump in the car and we'd go find a game. And it wasn't about me going to see some prospect or something or nothing. It was just, let's go over here to Brentwood, watch a game. Let's go up here to Franklin, go watch a game. Let's go over here somewhere. Let's go to Brentwood Academy. Let's go to Innsworth. Let's go to CPA. We just go somewhere. Just sit and just for the, because at that point, I didn't even know where they'd be going to high school. We hadn't even thought about that stuff yet. We just go to games. And they loved it. Oh, we go to the concession stand. Get your popcorn. Get your coke. Yeah, Friday night, it's Ohio State and Northwestern. Now, that game's in Evanston. Buckeyes on Friday night. Now, that's a, what, central time, because my clock is central. Central time, 7:30 game. I don't think Northwestern hangs with them long. I'd be surprised. Well, I know Hawkeye Jason was talking about this the other day on Twitter. I don't know if that game is in play at halftime. Shouldn't be. Northwestern's not very good. No. And that's after last year representing the West, the Big Ten West, in the Big Ten championship game. Josh in London. Bill, today is Tin Cup's birthday. So Adam Johnson, happy birthday, Mr. Tin Cup at WNSR. Josh knows more about that stuff than me, man. If you missed it, we were talking about this earlier. I want to repeat it. Got some bad news yesterday, some sad news. Bayou Dave, who was a regular caller back in the SiriusXM days, passed away. Bayou Dave. They called him Bull. And he had been in ill health and then got some news recently that was upsetting about his health. And I saw this on Facebook yesterday. Somebody who's on his Facebook account, I think it's one of his children, tweeted that he had passed away at 12:55 on Wednesday. And many of you will remember Bayou Dave. He'd call in, he'd complain about whatever ailment he had, and then he'd start talking about LSU. And it was, LSU was always good, but it was always the offense failing him. And it was always Les Miles being stubborn, and it was the inability to pass the ball. It was the inability to be balanced. We talk about that every time with him. He had me go get Les Miles to sign his media guide. Well, they sent us all these media guides. So I grabbed one of the LSU ones. We were down in Birmingham, and I got Les Miles to sign it. And that was the infamous he couldn't spell Bayou story. Meaning Les Miles couldn't spell Bayou. To Bayou Dave, colon, and then G-E-A-U-X. He knew the go part, yes. G-E-A-U-X, he had that. Tigers. He had all that, but he couldn't do Bayou. The LSU coach, now he's not from there. Les Miles played at Michigan, man. He's amazing bluer, baby. But yeah, Bayou Dave passed away. Sad news there. You know what's interesting? Let's go back in time. We always play the game, what if? What if this coach took this job, or what if this happened or that happened? Even though that's not the reality because it didn't happen, we could still play the game. In 07, I'm convinced Les Miles was leaving LSU for Michigan. I will always be convinced of that. And it's the day of the SEC championship game, which in 07, it was LSU-Tennessee. Tennessee's last SEC championship game. A year later, Tennessee's running off former. And that morning, Herbie, breaking news, Les Miles is going to take the Michigan job. And I think Herbie was right. I think in that moment, that was happening. What we did not know is that announcement screwed everything up. You remember Les Miles was at the microphone that morning. It was a press conference, which was not scheduled, best I remember. And he was going, this is just great. This is just great. Day of the championship game, and I got to deal with this. Just great. I think what he was saying was, my cover got blown here. I think he was taking that job. I really do. I don't believe the external communication, which was, no, Herbie jumped it, and he was out in front of the story when it really wasn't even a story. I don't believe that. I think that was covering. That was covering your A double dollar sign, right? I think he was absolutely leaving. Michigan is his place. I mean, that's where he played. So I'm convinced he was leaving. So my question would be, what if? What if Les Miles was there? And that would mean he's well over 10 years into that. Where would Harbaugh be now? Would Les Miles be competing evenly with Ohio State? Got to remember now, watching Michigan, the frustration with them is particularly the offense. And Les Miles isn't one to yield a whole lot. He acts like he does, but he doesn't when it comes to the offense. Would they be in better shape? Because that would mean that the Rich Rodriguez thing never happened. Remember? The Brady Hoke thing would never have happened. Now, again, that's provided that Les Miles did well there and held on to the job. But they'd be tough now. Les Miles is a tough guy coach. Gary Joe Collins on Twitter this morning. Bill, I'll go ahead and say it. If Pruitt can turn Tennessee around and get them to a bowl, he should be coach of the year. Now, Saturday excluded, they could get to 6 wins. Call me nuts, but, well, considering where they started with a loss to Georgia State and a 1-4 record, now they're 2-4, and they got to go to Alabama, which obviously is a loss. So that makes, 2-5? I mean, still on the schedule, you've got UAB. You have, and I need to think of 5 teams here. Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky. So UAB, this is not in exact order. UAB, Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky, Vandy. That's five games. That's the remaining schedule. Maybe not in the right order, but. So they would have to, of those 5 games, they'd have to win 4 of them to get to 6-6. Again, UAB, South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. They could only lose 1 of those games to get to 6-6. And right now, do they look as good as South Carolina? No. Do they look as good as Missouri? No. Do they look as good as Vanderbilt? Yes. Do they look as good as Kentucky? I would say yes. UAB's at home. Now, UAB's a really good team. So getting to 6 would require them to overachieve a little bit down the stretch. Missouri's playing some really good ball right now. Missouri is kind of a quiet surprise in the SEC East right now. Maybe not to everybody, but they're playing good ball. They beat South Carolina. We can play transitive property. They beat South Carolina pretty handily. The team that just went to Athens and beat Georgia. Now, I don't think Missouri has the overall talent that Georgia does. They don't. But you still think about that kind of stuff, right? Yeah, you do. Josh in London. Bill, Herbie is a Buckeye. He leaked that report in an attempt to screw TTUN out of the coach they wanted. No, I think he had a source, which was Les Miles, which told him, I'm going home to Ann Arbor, and that thing got out a little earlier than anybody wanted it to. At least Les Miles did. Yeah, 07, man. Now, you got to remember, a couple of years later, actually LSU's best team, because the 07 team had 2 losses, still won it all, which was a rare year. But the 11 team was his best team, easily. Now, did they have much of a game plan for the national championship game? Once they got there with Jordan Jefferson and that group, no, they didn't. It was a pathetic, pathetic performance. That was his best team, I think, pretty easily at LSU. All right, one more break here in hour number 2. Coming right back, Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Let's say hello to my buddy and former 1977 BGA classmate, James Warren. He's now the owner of Sir Speedy in Berry Hill. James, let's talk a little mailing services.
We do mailing for all kinds of folks, George. And I will say, if a business needs to boost sales or drive customer loyalty, they can talk to us. We'll have it covered. Our direct mail pros can get your company in front of the right people with our comprehensive direct mail and mailing services. Basically, all you have to do is share your goals with us, and we do the rest. Get the ball rolling and send your next direct mail project to us at rates cheaper than you can mail things.
Give me the particulars.
So our email address is print@sirspeedymusiccity.com. You can find us online at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com or give us a call at 615-832-9511. We've got you covered.
Penn Station likes to mix it up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads, fresh cut fries, chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For October, try the Philly cheesesteak sub with chips and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
It's the NFL on Sports USA. This week, the Los Angeles Rams charge into Atlanta to face the Falcons. The Rams have Goff firing lasers downfield to Kupp and Cooks. Then it's Gurley rumbling into the end zone.
10-5, touchdown, Todd Gurley!
The Falcons have their own passing attack with Matt Ryan airmailing it to Julio, Ridley, or a delivery for Mr. Hooper. It's the Rams at the Falcons, this Sunday on Sports USA.
Pre-game coverage begins at 11:30 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Goggy Cold Hall Studios out at the Wilco location, Omni Nashville Hotel. 615-844-5600 on Twitter at Bill is King. Tomorrow, hour number three, Brad Powers, bradpowersports.com. Looking forward to that. Week 8, we'll go through the games. We'll let him give you all the clear identifying elements that you need to be able to recognize when picking games. Brad's got his PhD in that. Looking forward to that. That's hour number three on Friday. We'll be in studio. We will not be on the road for tomorrow. See, we already went to the Southern, so typically it'd be the third Friday of the month, but we've already been there, so that is not the case this week. Jim in Jupiter. Bill, I have the wife in Vermont celebrating our 20th anniversary and wake up to see that my friend Alan from Tampa got me some delicious popcorn. Cheers to all of you. Yeah, Alan is up in Gatlinburg hanging out over there by the Cosby Cattleman. And he bought Alan a gift pack, which has some nice spirits in it. Let me just say it that way. It's got some nice spirits in there. So, yeah. They're up there in Vermont, man. Dude went way north. He's up there by Kevin in Boston. That's how far up there he is. He's up above Crazy Charlie's home, man. He's north of Crazy Charlie up there. That's getting on up there now. Way past where us Southerners are used to going. That's for sure. Yeah, good stuff. So, Alan and his wife, they're up in Gatlinburg. Hanging out a little bit. Dollywood and all those fun places up that way. Yeah, I was just thinking. We used to do a Saturday show, and it was in the afternoon. And during the playing portion of the season, it was very heated because you would have games going on. We'd be doing the show during games. It'd be a Saturday afternoon. And depending on what game or games coincided with when you're on the air, when they would end, people would all of a sudden tune in, and then they would call to either compliment their team, be happy, or be upset. The maddest I ever heard Tennessee fans. Well, no. Let me back up and rephrase that. The maddest I've ever heard any fan base. I'd say Josh a couple of years ago with his Buckeyes, and that was a famous audio clip that went national, went everywhere, right? Game day played it. But it would be Tennessee two different times. Now, again, I'm in Tennessee, so maybe that's the reason. But 1990, Tennessee-Alabama. Tennessee was a solid favorite. Gene Stallings just getting started at Alabama. Tennessee is favored by, I'm thinking, 10, 11, 12 points. Tennessee's got all this offense. They've got Alvin Harper, Carl Pickens. They got Andy Kelly at quarterback. They got talent everywhere, offense, defense. The offensive line had two top 10 picks. That offensive line for Tennessee in 1990 had two players go in the top 10 picks of the draft. High first round. Loaded. Dale Carter in the secondary. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Loaded team. Alabama comes in there, shuts Tennessee's offense down. It's 6-6 late. Tennessee attempts a field goal. It gets blocked. Goes the other way. Alabama kicks a field goal, wins the game. And this is after many years of losing the Alabama game and the fan base sick of it. Just sick and tired of it. I'm on the air when all this goes down. Immediately the phones go crazy. And people are calling. They're trying to cuss. They know you're not supposed to. They're crying. I had one guy so mad he's crying while he's screaming about Tennessee and losing another one to Alabama. And I'm telling you, as angry as you could be. So angry that if you told them, you know what, just go out and tear some stuff up. Be lawless. They do it. That's how bad it was. And this went on until the show ended. I guess we did this for 3 hours. And I just sat there basically and listened. I mean, one call after another, people just screaming bloody murder. The next time was 93. Tennessee keeps losing this game, Alabama game. And Tennessee thinks this is a game we can win. He Shuler's the quarterback. And Tennessee has a lead, which is, what was it, 8 points? Wasn't it 8 points? I think it was. Wasn't it 8 points? Tennessee's hanging on. And at the end, Alabama, don't they go for two there? Yeah, they tie it. Ends up in a tie game. That's when you didn't have overtime. So the 93 game, a game that looked well in hand, ends up a tie. David Palmer, they put in at quarterback to run a little wishbone, a little option thing. Tennessee couldn't cover it. He's a really good player too, David Palmer. And that game ends up, again, like I mentioned, in a tie. I'm on the air, and fans are calling in spitting blood. They're so mad. Just venomous anger. And I remember listening to that. That's the maddest I've heard any fan base. Now, again, maybe that's because I'm in Tennessee. Maybe I haven't been in Louisiana when LSU loses a game that really makes the fan base mad. But see, the Tennessee-Alabama series back then meant something. It was contentious. It even though Alabama would win most of them, if not all of them at times, it still felt like going into the game, hey, this thing is even. I mean, we'll see what happens. Maybe Alabama wins it again, but it's a possible win. There was hope. Tennessee fans had hope. You also got to remember, if you go back, we've played this mathematical game on the show before. If you go back to about 1970, the Alabama-Tennessee series was even. It was 50-50, basically. Since then, it's been overwhelmingly Alabama. Through Bill Battle. Through Johnny Majors. Now, Fulmer had a really good record versus Alabama. Since then, it's been Alabama. All Alabama. And it's been one-sided. Got to go back to Mike Shula. All right. Hour 3 coming up. We got a lot to get to here. Thursday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.